veteran chemists of the medical profession since 1858, bring you Academy Award. The pictures, the players, the techniques and skills which have won or been nominated for the coveted awards granted each year by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences to each in his field for outstanding achievement. Of the great family of Squibb medicinal products, brings you the distinguished Paramount star Brian Donlevy in The Great McGinty, the original screenplay for which Preston Sturges won his 1940 Academy Award.
This is the story of a guy called McGinty who's tending Byron a joint out of the border. This is the story of McGinty, his friends, and their brief day of glory. Well, here we are. And if your eyes can see through the cigarette smoke, I'll point out our interesting characters. Oh, yeah, those tough, deadpan-looking mugs at the table playing poker.
Go up them. Get it up.
That's the boss. Used to be a big shot political boss up north.
I'm in, boss.
That's Louie. He carries a rod under his arm and nothing under his cap.
I'm in too, boss.
That's the politician. And over here, the pale-faced young man staring into his face. His name is Thompson. He's new down here and very sad.
Where's the door to the patio?
Right behind that third palm. And behind the bar...
What's this bar for me, Pedro?
I got a hunch about that guy, Thompson. The great McGinty himself, about to go into action. Shall we join McGinty in the patio? Hey, you, give me that gun.
No, let me alone.
Give me it.
I don't want to live anymore.
Shut up. Come on out of here.
Don't you. You're breaking my arm.
Well, are you coming, people?
All right. Why did you have to stop me? Why didn't you let me do it?
Here, have a drink.
Thanks.
Hey, what's the matter with you, kid? What do you want to pull a gun on yourself for?
I haven't any right to go on living.
Nuts. What did you do?
I was a cashier of a bank up in Montclair, New Jersey.
So what?
I had a nice house, nice wife, nice kids. And I stole $25,000 from the bank. Oh, I don't deserve to live.
You was a cashier of a bank and you stole only $25,000.
What?
Hey, get a load of this guy. And he wants to shoot himself.
But what did you ever do, McGinty?
What did I do? I tell you. I was the governor of a state.
You governor of a state? How could you ever have been a governor?
Well, how do you get to be anything? You gotta start at the bottom, and that's where I started. I got into town under a freight car. It's snowing, and I'm cold and beat, and I ain't been eating for 2 days, and I'm in a soup kitchen inhaling some broth when the politician ups to me.
Good soup, huh? Take me kind of a mayor to think of the less fortunate on a night like this.
Never mind the applesauce, bull.
Yeah. How'd you like to make a couple of bucks?
Well, you think you're kidding. What have I got to do?
Very simple, my boy. You just go down and vote for Mayor Tillinghast and come right back here and collect $2.
How about voting twice?
That's $4.
What's the jail sentence for repeating?
Who said anything about repeating? Where do you think this is, Hicks Corners? Some people are too lazy to vote, that's all. They don't like this kind of weather. Some of them are sick in bed and can't vote. Maybe a couple of them croaked recently. That ain't no reason why Mayor Tillinghast should be cheated out of their support. All we're doing is getting out the vote.
Now, what were you saying about that bum?
I said that bum just voted 37 times and I need the dough to pay him off.
I don't believe a man can vote 37 times.
I just said he voted 37 times!
He couldn't vote 37 times!
Who voted 37 times?
Oh, good. Evening, boss. Evening, Mr. Mayor. That lug there, cramming in the free lunch.
Pay him off. He may have the kind of service we're giving you. Hey, you lug.
Huh?
Come in here. We want to look at you.
Me?
Yeah, you. Don't you know you ain't supposed to vote more than once?
Who are you?
A tough guy, huh? I guess you don't know where you are.
No. And I don't care, neither.
This guy kills me. He thinks he's me.
I didn't know it, but he was the big political boss of the town. I guess he took a liking to me because he gave me some dough and I got a shave and a manicure and I bought me a new suit.
Okay, boss. Here's the lug.
I got a new suit.
Yeah. Some suit.
Huh?
Looks more like this suit got you.
Listen, you.
Suppose you listen for a change. The reason you're alive and walking around in that horse blanket is because I like you, see. It's because I can use some nerve in my business. In the meantime, if you want to do some collecting for me, you got a job. You got 20%. I pay the hospital bill.
Give me the list and shut up.
Now, look. Your job is to collect for the protection I've been giving you.
I'll collect, and when I do, I get 20%, and don't you forget it.
Take it easy now. I've been following you. Me and Louie up there driving.
Okay.
What about it? You collect anything except that black eye.
Here's your dough. 250 and 5 and 400. That's $750. Count it.
So you collect it after all. I guess you think you're kind of hot stuff, huh? Because you beat up a few guys. All right, keep the change.
Keep what change? I got 20% coming.
I said keep the whole lot. I never expect to collect it anyhow.
Huh? Well, then what's the idea of sending me out?
I'm glad you didn't disappoint me.
What?
For a minute, I thought you was going to say thank you.
Me?
You're a card, you are. Yesterday, you were a bull on the bread line. Today, you got 1,000 berries and a no suit. If you can't keep on like you've started today, there's no telling where you'll be tomorrow. This is a land of great opportunity.
Hey, what makes this place so quiet? You don't hear nothing in here.
It's armor. Don't interrupt. And if you think I'm not the boss, you try cross me up sometime.
You got me all a tremble. I bet you're scared to death of yourself.
All right. You ask for it.
Yeah, I'll break in that tired as I am.
Yeah, here's where you get yours.
Was a little muscle bound. I could speed him to the punch, you know. Boy, but we had some panicking.
I thought you said you were the governor of a state. Sounds like you were just a cheap crook.
Well, you gotta crawl before you walk, don't you? I collected the chicken feed for a while, see, and then the guy makes me an alderman, and I move in on the second floor.
Hello! Hello! I thought we was cut off. As I was saying, Dillingast is dead as a doornail. We need a new face. Clean, typical American. Upright, dependable. Somebody don't know too much about. What do you think of McGinty? Huh? Ever heard of him, huh? Well, that's just what I'm talking about.
$100,000.
That's what they tell me.
But that's a confounded outrage, Mr. Alderman. Even in the days of Bath Herman, we didn't have to pay that much for franchises. Not even in the days of Bath House Dick. Those boys were fighters compared to this mob.
Oh, you don't mean that, Mr. Maxwell. You've got to remember, everything's gone up. Living expenses is higher. There's an income tax. Well, you're dealing with a better class of men than Bath House Dick.
Now, look here. I will not pay grants. Millions for defense, but not 1 cent for tribute.
You could call it advertising. Yes?
Come over here. I want to talk to you. I got something important.
Be right over. Well, I'm sorry, Maxwell, but that's the way it is. Catherine?
Yes, Mr. McGinty?
I've got to go over and see the boss. I'll be back about 4.
All right, Mr. McGinty.
Now, just a minute, McGinty.
here, huh?
Yeah.
Sit down. Have a cigar.
Are you kidding?
I know them cigars. Listen, you want to be reform mayor.
Reform mayor?
That's what I said.
Well, what do you mean, reform mayor?
What do you think it means? Make me say everything twice, will you?
Well,
I said you want to be reform mayor of this city. Mayor.
Well, what's you got to do with the reform party?
I am the reform party. Who do you think?
You're the reform party.
Why do you make me say everything twice?
But since when?
Since a long time ago. In this town, I'm all the parties. You think I'm going to starve every time they change administration?
But then where does the Reform Party come in?
They come in the back door every Wednesday. I ask you if you want to be Reform Mayor. You give me a plain answer.
Well, sure, I guess so.
Good. You're in. You'll have to kiss a lot of babies, meet a lot of guys, and wear your old clothes. I don't want no dudes after that last one. And you'll have to get married right away.
What do you mean, get married right away?
What do you think it means? Do I have to say everything twice? Women vote. Maybe they don't know it. They don't like bachelors.
Oh, they don't, huh? Well, if they don't like them, they can lump them.
What's the matter with you? Are you nuts?
No, I'm just playing hard to get.
Darn you. Don't you know what marriage is? Don't you know that marriage has always been the most beautiful setup between the sexes? Don't you know the goat without the pants? Like a pig without a poop. Marriage is the most...
Then why don't you try it?
Because I ain't running for mayor!
Yeah, well, I ain't either. Poke that in your pig.
Before continuing with part two of Academy Award, may we suggest for your enjoyment every day an ever-popular member of the great family of Squibb products, pure, refreshing Squibb Dental Cream. There's something about its delightful minty flavor that seems to wake up your mouth, to leave it pleasantly cool, clean, refreshed. Look into your mirror, and you will see your own smile with all its natural sparkle revealed. For the active ingredient in pure Squibb Dental Cream is one of the safest, softest, yet most effective polishing agents known to dental science. It's just one more reason why you can taste, feel, and see the refreshing difference when you brush your teeth with Squibb Dental Cream. Use it regularly for a more attractive smile, a cleaner, happier mouth. Taste, feel, and see the refreshing difference. In just a moment, Brian Darnlevy will be back with the second part of The Great McGinty. But first, we want to thank Paramount Pictures for making this story available. You'll be interested to know that you can soon see Brian Donlevy in Paramount's new Technicolor production, The Virginian. And now, part two of the Academy Award-winning picture, The Great McGinty.
Another shot of this?
Yeah. Well,
you getting out?
Yeah.
I made the mistake of talking it over with my secretary first, and then I was a goner.
Oh, I'm so happy for you, Mr. McGinty.
What are you talking about? I told him to go fly a kite. Can you see me telling some dame where I've been till 2 o'clock in the morning, and how did you get that lip rouge on your hat?
Well, I certainly feel the same way you do about it, Mr. McGinty, but you need the woman's vote. And if you had a wife, what I mean to say, Mr. McGinty, is that I've been married before, and, well, I'd be willing to marry you, Mr. McGinty.
Huh?
Hello, Mr. McGinty's office. Who's calling? Oh, it's for you, Mr. McGinty.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Tell him I'm dead or something. I got to go into the office and think this over. Careful.
We're legally married, aren't we? Really married?
That's what the guy said.
Mr. McGinty, I don't want you to think I've been concealing anything from you.
Huh?
There's no reason why I should. It's just that in the excitement...
What?
Sit down, Mr. McGinty.
What's on your mind?
It's just... Well, I think you ought to know if we're all going to have to live in the same house.
Huh.
Who's
all?
I've been meaning to tell you that, well, I had two of the loveliest little children, and they have the cutest little dog. Just that I knew you wouldn't mind being mayor and everything. I don't suppose you'll be home very much anyway.
And Catherine wasn't a bad wife at all for any guys, though, even though we didn't work at it for a while. But being mayor was a thing. So when I got to thinking of being married, that was a lot tougher.
Come in. Oh, Bessie, put it on the bed. Did you wash out those other stockings?
Not yet.
Oh. Oh, Mr. McGinty. What are you doing in my room?
Well, you know, Catherine, I was thinking... Why don't you, we, have dinner together sometime?
Well, I'd be very glad to, Mr. McGinty. Anytime.
You know, if you told anybody that we've been living here like this for 6 months and neither one of us ever gives the other one a thought, they wouldn't believe it.
That's right. Even if it was true, they wouldn't believe it.
Well, it's silly.
Yes, it is.
I ain't never even kissed you.
No, Mr. McGinty.
That's silly, isn't it?
Yes, Mr. McGinty.
Well, what's the use of being silly? I'm your husband, ain't I? Catherine?
Oh, Mr. McGinty.
To get up pretty early to be smarter than Peter Rabbit, because he was as full of brains as a dog is full of fleas. Our old friend didn't even stop to think. He took a hop, skip, and a jump and started across the clover field as fast as his little fat legs would carry him. Just as he got to the edge of the field by the old split rail fence, a shadow fell across his path. And who do you suppose it was? I'll give you three guesses, and three more, and three more. But you will never guess who it really was, because it was none other than our old friend...
Darling.
Huh?
The children are asleep now.
Oh, okay. Hey, just a minute, let's finish this thing. It was none other... than our friend Muggle the Wump, the Tortoise. Huh. Oh, what do you know? That's who I thought it was all the time.
Darling, the children love you so and admire you. Hurt sometimes. They think you're George Washington and Abraham Lincoln were all together. Only finer.
Hey, have you been drinking catnip?
No, darling. No, I haven't. I know you and I believe in you. You'll be strong enough someday, Dan. And then you'll wash clean of graft and crooks and thieving politicians and really deserve your title. The Honorable.
Money! In circulation! Plus
Strong enough for anything now.
Huh?
You're governor. Governor of the state. Now you can keep your promise.
Look, I'm governor. You're the governor's lady now. Everybody don't get to be governor. Isn't that enough for you? Why don't we leave well enough alone?
Yes.
Oh, Mr. Governor. Huh? The reception committee is waiting to see you, sir.
Oh, well, show him in. You go with that guy. Find another room for a while. I'll be with you when I get rid of these bums.
We did it, eh, McGinty?
What are you doing in here? I'm expecting the reception committee.
He's expecting the committee. Listen, punk, you got it. I'm the committee. What a wonderful opportunity, Daniel. The state needs everything. They've been on as governor so long, the whole place is in wreck and ruin.
Is that so?
Fantastic. The roads, for instance, they're in terrible condition. In case of war, we'd be at the mercy.
How could an enemy ever get to here?
How do I know? Am I a general? Now, we'll start off with the new state capitol building. Maybe white marble. Or do you like pink?
What do we need it for?
Need it for? This one's got a crack in it.
I like it. And I got to live in it.
What are you trying to pull, Lord?
Look, there ain't going to be no dams and no bridges and no buildings the people don't need from now on.
The people? Say, you sick or something?
I feel fine.
And what are you trying to put over, you cheap double-crossing rat? That's why I spent $400,000 to put you in here.
Look, here's the key to my safety deposit box. I'll pay you the rest out of my salary.
What's all this talk? You're spouting like a woman. Aha, your wife, that cheesecake, you're married.
Leave her out of this. There, I told you.
You skunk. You double-crossing skunk. I'll give it to you for the...
Oh, no, you don't. I'll put your skull.
Hit me with a chair, will you?
The governor, where are you?
Oh, there he is, under the table on top of the big guy. Was on top.
I've got bad news for you, Governor. You're under arrest.
Put him in cell number 6, right next to the other one. Oh, boy, that turned out to be something. I said he tried to kill me. He said I tried to kill him. He said I was a crook. I said he was. Well, anyway, there we were, sitting on the hot seat in the cooler, side by side.
Oh, Dan, I'll stand by you. I'll fight for you night and day. We'll lick them if it takes 20 years.
Sure, sure. Thanks for trying, honey.
Well, good night, Dan.
Good night, honey. And don't you worry about me.
Still here.
Who asked you anything?
I hope you're satisfied, you rat. The first time I catch you alone, I'll bet your brains all over the yard.
You and your little brother.
Hey, hold on, quiet, Donna. Why don't you stand up?
Set up your own trap. Stick a cork in it. Yeah.
Jesus, the guy's...
Hey, quiet in there. Who do you think you are, you guy?
Holy smoke, it's a politician. How did he get in that suit?
Shut up.
What's your big idea?
Any more noise and I'll put you both in solitary. I got all the keys right here, and it'll be very simple.
He's got the keys.
You said it. Now be quiet! Wait till it gets dark, if you want to yell.
Come on, Law. You want we should get caught now after the politicians fly out? They got up his car on an hour's side.
I'll be right with you, horse face. Just let me finish this phone call.
Catherine, I can't talk much. I got 2 mugs waiting for me. I couldn't stay in the jug. It wouldn't look right for you to have to tell the kids. I think they're wonderful, honey, and I wanted to tell you I left here key to the deposit box that Sampson there held out on you. So long, honey.
Come on, we got a boat to catch.
I gotta hang up, darling. I'm sorry it didn't work out, but you can't make the silk purse out of a pig's ear. Kiss the kids for me, will you?
Come on, I said!
Why didn't he kill you?
I never could figure that out.
Yeah. Maybe it's because you're a big liar and what you told me never happened at all.
Ah, well, have it your own way, kid. And that'll be $2 for the drink. Thanks.
I saw you. You laughed.
Saw me what, pig-faced?
Don't make me say everything twice. I saw you put those $2 in your pocket. Ring up no sale. I'm going to teach you once and for all to be honest.
Yeah? Get your ham hand off my bar.
You asked for it. Come on.
So did you, and here's where you get it.
Hey, it's so quiet in here. Nothing but that music. What's going on at the bar?
Nothing much, Louie. McGinney and the boss are at it again.
Boys will be boys. I got 4 aces. What do you got, politician?
Not bad. I got 5 kings. Sorry, Louie. Look at any Squibb product, you will see that every package bears a control number. That number is the symbol of a painstaking way of working that safeguards every step in the production of every Squibb product. Every date, every test that is made, from the day raw materials arrive at Squibb to the day the finished product is in your hands, is recorded by the Squibb control number. It identifies every laboratory worker and every scientist involved in the making of a Squibb product. It helps to eliminate the risk of human error in all Squibb products, from life-saving drugs to pure Squibb dental cream. For no Squibb product is released until every detail of its history has been entered in its control records. It's just one more evidence of the quest for perfection that never ceases in the house of Squibb. One more reason why Squibb is a name you can trust. Another great picture. The House of Squibb will present Academy Award with a treat for the entire family. A special treat for the children. Walt Disney's delightful fantasy, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Paramount, The Great McGinty was written for radio by Frank Wilson with an original musical score composed and conducted by Lee Stevens. Our producer-director is Dee Engelbach. Paramount's current release is Kitty, starring Paulette Goddard and Ray Milland. This is Hugh Brundage bidding you good night until next week at the same time when you are invited to listen again to Academy Award presented by the House of Squibb, a name you can trust. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. The Columbia Broadcasting System.